Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
You're going to get an argument from anyone, but the defense is carrying the Green Bay Packers, correct? Like, everybody's on the same page. That defense, right now, they're carrying the team.
You know what?
The numbers.
Kind of seems like defense is carrying the league.
Well, we can look into that.
Right? Am I wrong, Joshy?
I don't think you're misguided.
I mean, the Rams, Seattle, they've been scoring 42. And what was the score of that game? Like
21-19.
It seems like we're sort of in one of those down scoring defenses sort of rule. The league does that all the time where ups and downs in terms of scoring, offense has the advantage, defense has the advantage.
Which I get because cover two forces you to throw underneath,
so here's,
or run the ball, which eats up clock.
Here are the top teams in terms of yards per game.
Okay,
number one, the Houston Texans,
which is weird because they're terrible.
Well, are you talking about defense and yards given up?
I am talking about defense and yards given up.
Yeah, so okay.
Texans are
their defense
number one.
Is good.
Yeah, their defense is good.
Yeah,
the Browns are two. So a couple of non-playoff teams there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get into the Broncos, Chargers, Lions, Packers, Chiefs, Patriots, Seahawks. Uh-huh. Those are all the other teams in the top
in terms of yards per game. That you mentioned at the top, I think we've all determined they're pretty much a quarterback and functional offense away from being really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we've seen it happen. That seems to be, they would be one of the better teams if they even could be average on offense.
And to Chewy's point, like after the last 3 weeks that Myles Garrett has had, where he's had 10 sacks in the last 3 weeks, suddenly he is on he's on the NFL record sack watch.
Yeah.
Where?
He had a game with five, and then he had a game with four. And sandwich in between, he just had one.
Where are you guys at with Rashawn Gary?
Well,
right
so that's
now.
What I wanted to get into. So right now, this team obviously being carried by the defense, but do they need more from the defense? In particular, players not named Micah Parsons.
Rashawn Gary hasn't had a sack in 3 weeks.
The last sack he had was against the Steelers. He had a two-sack game.
Yeah.
And the problem with Rashawn, and I have been somebody who isn't... A lot of Rashawn Gary defenders will always point to his pressure totals. Uh-huh. Oh, he's look how good his pressure totals are. Pressures have their value. I think it's a little overvalued because... As we saw against the Dallas Cowboys, when the Packers actually got a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott, but only got home the one time, Dak Prescott still carved them up. So just because you got a pressure doesn't mean you necessarily impacted the play way that you want.
And also now, I think the consensus of the sort of the people who delve deeply into this stuff, we've now developed quick pressure, which is basically you're getting home very quickly because a pressure that is a coverage pressure or comes just for high effort, because eventually you're going to win on defense most of the time.
Yes.
Those are different. Micah Parsons and the Myles Garretts and the TJ Watts, they win and they win quickly.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what are the real turnover-worthy type of plays that happen.
The example, obviously, to use would be the interception Evan Williams had week one when Micah Parsons beat Penei Sewell and was untouched on the inside of Sewell. Goff panics, throws the ball too soon, ends up being an interception.
But back to Rashawn Gary. I mean, his number next year is roughly what, 20, high 20s?
26, 27 million. They would save $19 million against the cap.
Now, this is all I'm saying here. Okay, let's just say for giggles, they're a one and done.
Okay.
Or even a one win and a done.
Get to the divisional round.
Yes. You don't have a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start running into a little bit of money issues.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to be active in free agency next year? And would you be comfortable with Lucas Van Ness taking Gary's role, saving 19, and adding something, because you're not going to have a one for the next 2 years.
The problem is, Chu, I don't know if they're going to be able to really add anything significant the way they have the last two off seasons in free agency, because they've got things that they need to address. Like that money that you just talked about for Rashawn.
Yeah.
They need to potentially use on re-signing Quay Walker.
Yeah, I know.
They need to use that on locking up Tucker Kraft. They need to, because those guys are going to be due pretty significant and pretty substantial raises going forward.
Now,
Christian Watson is already under contract, but his number's going up about $10 million next year.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do?
This is a very important 7-game stretch for Rashawn Gary in his future as a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah.
Now, if he starts playing like he did early in the season, when he's getting those quick pressures, he's taking advantage of the one-on-ones, and he shows that he can be
a typically
good compliment.
Doesn't, Gabe.
I know.
He typically does not.
I know.
He disappears.
Yep. And that in lies the problem. And I think if he does, let's say he goes out there and has a really good game at Lambeau against the Vikings, but then disappears for another month.
Yes.
I think that kind of seals his fate going forward.
I would agree. Is it not so much because he's
they approach him about taking some sort of pay cut to get that number down to something that they're more comfortable with. And he probably says kick rocks and then they release him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is an important 7-game stretch. But you have to be proactive as far as next year. Do you think they sign? I think he walks.
Who?
Quay.
I have no idea. I mean, the fact that he told Jason that, there's an offer on the table, and here we are getting toward the end of November.
Yeah, but that offer on the
unsigned
table was how many games ago?
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine it's still on the table.
And Quay Walker gains leverage the deeper you go into the season, and the Packers lose it. So my guess is that deal is no longer on the table.
I would agree. But obviously, using the context clues, I got to imagine he believes that the contract offer was not fair. Because if the contract offer, if he believed it was fair, guess what you do with a fair contract offer?
Yeah.
I guess you can tell us this as somebody who has signed a fair contract offer in the NFL or two in their time.
Yeah.
You sign the deal. But if you feel like, I'm worth more than that, then you don't sign it.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that that's what the Packers were trying to do, try to get him at a more controlled number.
Can they get out of Dobbs or no?
What do you mean?
Like,
well, he's going to be a free agent.
Not Dobbs. Sorry. Hobbs.
Oh,
too many.
Hobbs.
Yes. sorry.
I am not sure. I have not looked into. Typically, when they sign free agents like that, it's get out of it after 2 years.
Okay.
But I can look at his contract quickly. But yeah, Dobbs is going to be a free agent. But again, that's kind of why I don't think that somebody that they re-sign.
I just
and give a contract because
not enough money
to re-sign him.
There is an out next year for Hobbs.
There is? Do you take it?
It's 12 dead cap.
So you'd save $1 million.
Oh. Well, then.
You'd save $1 million.
Yeah. Okay.
You can save $9 million if it's a post June 1st release. Which again, when most of the contracts that you have to do or what you're most concerned about when you're the Packers is internal stuff, it's not like you need that money. And Rob brought this up on Monday, Chu. I know you weren't here, but Rob brought up on Monday for Rashawn Gary's contract. There's no roster bonus that's due on the third league day that a lot of times these contracts have, and you have to make that decision early are we going to release him? What are we going to do? Kind of very similar to the Jair Alexander, where that went on forever before they finally released him. So they could probably hold on to these guys post June 1 and get the biggest cap savings and spread out, get the biggest cap saving that they can for next year. And they could probably do the same thing for Hobbs, especially because it's not like Tucker Kraft's set to be a free agent. No, he's going to be entering the next, the final year of his deal next year.
But Gabe,
so you can do those, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're worried about Hobbs, Quay's different because Quay will be a free agent. But if you're looking internally at some of the deals you want to get done, it's not like you need that money at the beginning of free agency. It's fine if you wait and release these guys later.
But the offensive line is going to have issues next year. Jenkins gone. You think they're going to re-sign Ryan? What about Rashid Walker?
No.
So you have to, you got to go out in the free agent market.
Well, so you presume that your left tackle is going to be Jordan Morgan.
Correct.
Your right guard is going to be Anthony Belton. And then
let's
need,
just give that an ah.
Your right guard's going to be Anthony Belton.
Okay.
And then you need a center.
Okay.
That's, I mean, again, that, I think that's just the way that plays out.
Yeah.
Just based on the way the Packers have traditionally done things with their high draft picks.
Yeah.
If Goody would have just drafted Creed Humphrey, the guy we all knew was better than Josh Myers, life would be pretty easy street.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to worry about Aaron Banks right now.
Nope, we could just
he did, PFF had graded him up very high against the Giants.
He had his best game as a Packer.
What's your gut tell you about Gary, though? I mean, Goody's got to be sitting there going,
They signed him to a bad contract.
$29 million?
Yeah, I think
with all
that,
these... Mm-hmm. I mean, unless he... I wouldn't say lights it up, but becomes a factor in this push,
so
I'm fine with Van Ness.
He's at 7.5 sacks. I would say he's got to have 4.5 down the stretch here in the next 7 games. He's got to get to 12 sacks.
As I say, 12 to 14 to me is the range.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if he gets to 12, then you're going, yeah, he's inconsistent, but... I mean, 12 to 14 sacks is hard to come by.
Sure.
You got to pay for that.
Yeah, if he makes a difference in enough games throughout it, you live with the ups and downs.
What if you get a sucker to trade? Huh? No?
See if the Giants are interested. Maybe the Jets.
Yeah. Hey, I got this nice car. No, you can't look at it.
Dolphins.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Nope,
no,
nope,
you can't
nope,
look
don't
at
you
it.
Dare. Just,
I got another buddy coming. Is it a yes or a no? That's kind of the deal it would be.
Yeah, it's the approach we have left.
Yeah.
No, you can't watch this film.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean you already have it?
Luke Fickle said no film and no one around.
Take the Luke Fickle approach. Okay. Yeah. We will get back to more Packers, but the Brewers had an interesting day yesterday from somebody opting into coming back to the team, plus an interesting tattoo from one of their studs. We dive into that next here on a Wendorf Wednesday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
There's a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
There's not a... No, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Find folks over there at Tony Wendorf & Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win, no matter if it's buying or selling. Get started today, wendorfteam.firstweber.com. Yesterday, a very interesting day in Major League Baseball. So a handful of years ago, baseball put into where you can give qualifying offers to players. One-year deal worth X amount of dollars. This year, it was just a hair over $22 million.
Mm-hmm.
And if they decline the offer, you get a compensatory pick. So, for example, last year, the Milwaukee Brewers put a qualifying offer out to Willy Adames. He turned it down, understandably so, signed his big-time deal with the San Francisco Giants, and in return, the Brewers ended up getting the 32nd pick in this past season's draft. So you can get a pretty good compensatory pick for said players. So with Brandon Woodruff set to be a free agent, they put a qualifying offer on him. He accepted the qualifying offer worth $22 million, so he will be back with the Brewers next season. And I think a lot of people were shocked, maybe even confused by this, but 4 of the 14 decided to accept the offer this year that was placed upon them, which is quite a bit. And I think there's some uncertainty going into the postseason because we don't know what's going to be happening in 2027 in Major League Baseball, if there's going to be a work stoppage or not. So I think a lot of people just went, yeah, I'll take the $22 million this year and figure it out later. And then there was some, does this mean they're actually going to trade Freddie Peralta?
Yeah.
Because now they got $30 million locked up in Peralta and Woody. Doesn't seem to be the case. At the GM meetings a couple of weeks ago, and this was before Woodruff accepted the qualifying offer, Matt Arnold was on the record saying, Yeah, I see, Freddie. I understand why you're asking me this question. We're going to listen, but I can't imagine we're going to be given, you know, a Godfather offer for Freddie Peralta, and he's going to be a member of the team. I'm paraphrasing there, of course. And in an article that was up at The Athletic today, both the owner and Mark Attanasio and the GM, or excuse me, president of baseball operations, Matt Arnold, both saying, hey, we like what our rotation is. I don't think these are two separate moves. I can't imagine that, you know, just because he opted in, now they're going to trade Freddie. I think they're going to have both of them on the team next season. I think that's an exciting thing for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, but what are the chances they trade him at the deadline?
If they're out of it, yeah, then they trade. Then both could be traded.
Like, what would Freddie get? Would he get just a monster deal?
In free agency?
Yes.
I mean, he'll probably get a 5-year, $100 million type contract where he's getting like 20 a year. Maybe it's 5 years, 125.
Is that doable?
I don't know. They have a propensity at doing long-term deals where they're giving that up, especially for pitchers.
And I mean, how old is Freddie pushing 30?
He's getting closer to 30 now, yeah.
Okay.
I do want to correct the record. It is doable. Are they willing? That's a different question.
Yes. Yep. That's...
I mean, how long...
Yeah, Freddie is 29 years old. He will be turning 30 next year.
And then how long do they remain elite? I mean, when is old in baseball for a pitcher?
It depends.
I know you look at Scherzer.
Well, because like Scherzer, Verlander, like those guys are still throwing, right? Like those guys are in their 40s, yes, still pitching and still being relatively effective. And they've had some different injuries here and there, but it depends upon how healthy is your shoulder. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Is there anyone else that's a free agent, or is this pretty much just roll it back?
Pretty much roll it back. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is a free agent.
Yeah, okay.
You know, where, yeah, and he was missing for most of the team, or most of the season.
Yes.
Danny Jansen, who was their that they acquired to be backup catcher.
They've got a young catcher that's coming.
Yeah, 100%, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the guts of the team are still under contract, yes.
Why, what would you do, Joshy? 5 years, 100?
I mean, I would do it. I think you have the core that you want. And trying to find somebody to be Freddie in the next few years.
That is a pretty good route, because Miz will be better, right?
You'd imagine
The problem is the Brewers don't want to be stuck paying $20 million a year for Freddie when he's 35 years old.
Well, that's
and might be breaking down. That's the problem with a lot of these baseball contracts.
Yes.
Is you see on the back end, guys are just breaking down.
Yeah.
And the Willie Adames contract, it's not going to be worth it in year 5 and 6. For the San Francisco Giants.
Most teams make the decision of, we think these next 3-4 years, however many, are going to be worth it if we're paying for somebody who might not even be able to be out there, because their actual value versus what they're getting paid to our team outweighs what I'm actually giving them via contract. So if you're paying Freddie 25 and the 5th year is basically the last year, you go, well, he's probably worth 35 these. If we are to break it down and he pitches as well as we think he's capable of. And that, I mean, like the Albert Pujols was a great example of that. They knew he wasn't going to be good late in his career.
But they knew he was also going to be chasing 3,000 hits,
yes,
600 home runs, 700 home, yes, runs, and that those would drive people to the ballpark and be worth,
yes,
it.
Yes, and the first 5 years of the contract, going to be worth it. Still going to be pretty much like Albert Pujols.
Is there anything they can look at last year and say, okay, we can do this better? I mean, from a roster standpoint, or is it just like, this is small market versus big market? We just have to get
I think they would want to get more power, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm curious to see if they could take advantage and sign anybody to a 1 or a 2 year deal this offseason to add a little bit more power at potentially third base.
Yeah.
At a place like that. That's what I'm curious.
Seems like a conversation we had earlier this season.
Well, and he did turn down his qualifying offer, which I thought was interesting for a 34-year-old going into an uncertain market.
Yeah.
So it seems like a gamble for A. Eugenio Suarez to turn down his qualifying offer heading into free agency. But he thinks he can do better than $22 million a year, apparently, or at least get a multi-year deal that gives him more guaranteed money.
Okay.
But I think that's an interesting thing to kind of keep an eye on for baseball. But the Brewers, I think, are in a good spot for next year.
I mean, I love it. It's just, you got to kind of wait and see what other teams do.
Yeah. That's certainly part of it. But the Cubs look like they're probably losing one of their best hitters in Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to be going elsewhere because they're not going to pony up the money that I saw. I was reading something yesterday. Kyle Tucker could be worth $400 million.
Yeah, I don't care.
In this economy?
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. But the other thing I want to talk to you when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers, because the Brewers posted this on their social media yesterday, a guy that I think everybody loves, our guy, Wild Bill, William Contreras, got a new tattoo.
Oh.
But it's a tattoo of himself.
Oh.
Joshy is posting it on the YouTube page right now, so it is up there.
All right. Well, let's ask the resident tattoo guy who has a tattoo of someone else.
Someone else, totally fine. Yourself, a little strange.
So just to describe it for those who are listening on the radio and unable to watch on the YouTube stream, it is it's a two-shot. So the first one is him answering the phone call. The second is him with the phone call down after he hit the big home run against the Cubs, right?
Yes.
So that's where it's... but it's a home. But
okay,
So it's a double tattoo of himself. And by the way, he's got another one. I don't know if you noticed this, Josh, when yes. they were kind of showing. He also has another one somewhere else. This is on his forearm. I don't know if it's on the bicep or the other bicep of him putting the crown on himself,
yes.
Which is part of his home run celebration. So this is not the only tattoo of himself that he has on him,
which is weird. But let me tell you a story.
But if you do it twice, is that like a double negative?
Let me tell you
it cancels each other out.
Because I thought this was unbelievably weird. So Kenny Chesney lives in Key West.
Famously.
Me and my wife love Key West.
Yeah.
Love it. We go all the time. Absolutely love it. So there's this little bar that it's tiny. It's about as big as this room, Gabe. Maybe twice as big.
A little hole in the wall, sure.
What it's famous for is it's the first place Jimmy Buffett played.
Okay.
So every now and then, Kenny Chesney will get in his golf cart and go perform over there without anyone knowing, just play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess Kenny Chesney wears a t-shirt with himself on it and listens to Kenny Chesney music while in the golf cart. What do you think of that?
Kenny just loves him some Kenny.
Josh?
Weird. Too much money, too much time away from people.
So that would be like me putting my Packer jersey on, watching a highlight reel of me, and inviting you guys over for some blammers.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you guys want to watch?
A little weird.
You guys want to watch Super Bowl 31 highlights?
Yeah.
That's us coming over.
A little
over.
Weird?
Yes, that's
okay.
That's us coming over, you with your Super Bowl ring on and a jersey, and we walk in and just so happens the Super Bowl replay's on.
I mean, Chewy wearing one of the jerseys he wore would be just kind of a little more weird because it had the diaper. Like, if you had the diaper, like, buttoned on
wearing the bottom. Wearing it on the outside?
I'd have some questions. But how do we feel about tattoos on yourself?
Yeah, I'm out.
Tattoos of yourself on yourself.
I like the one I got. I would never get another one.
So you have the Superman tattoo.
It. That's enough for me. Don't regret it.
So it's you great. Would not get this tattooed on yourself, is what you're saying?
No.
You would not get
so.
The picture of shirtless you tattooed somewhere on yourself. Like, this could look good on your back, man. Put this on
I'm
your
good.
Back. What
I'm
do you
good.
Think?
That,
no?
It's very disturbing that that thing is still in here.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I think it's incredibly weird to get a picture of yourself.
I agree.
Remarkably weird. Even as cool as it looks, it's a well-done tattoo.
It's a great tattoo.
I mean, what are the questions you get when you're... it's on your calf, right?
Yeah,
on what are the questions you get?
So, for those who don't know, what do you have on your calf?
I have Homer. I might have a picture of it somewhere in here.
I mean, what... I would think the first question is, who is that? Followed by, why?
A lot of people honestly don't ask. I just think it's probably... part because tattoos are so common.
Yeah.
People are, it's just now you see it all the time.
Well, and it's if you don't know the story behind it and you just see you with a, because again, there's like roses and like,
yes.
So if you don't know Joshy and you just see this picture or a tattoo of this old man on his calf, you just say, oh, maybe that's his grandpa.
Yes.
This is a, you know, so you don't ask, oh, no, that's not your grandfather? That's just someone you work with at a radio station?
That's crazy Uncle Homer.
Lord.
So we're out on that?
Yeah, totally out.
Put it on
Homer,
the infinity exterior poles.
I think any face. I don't know.
I mean, it's a really cool tattoo. I do not.
Would you get in trouble?
No.
Okay.
No, if I wanted to get a tattoo, nobody would say anything to me. I've just never had
the drive.
Never had the desire to get a tattoo.
Okay.
It's never been something that's ever crossed my mind.
Because Brett, before he got the Superman, which he put up high so his mother wouldn't see it in the jersey, has another tattoo in a weird place that you can't see, and the reason he did it is not to get in trouble.
I didn't realize he had a second tattoo.
Yeah.
What's the second tattoo of?
It's between me and him.
And everybody else in the locker room, I guess, that's seen it.
Yep. I would go, yep, that's him. Like I did once before. Just leave it at that.
We'll just leave it at that. Shout out to TC, who adds on the Car Blues Talking text line. If you are looking for a Brewers fix, check out the latest episode of Thanalysis, where The Miz is the special guest of the Thanalysis episode. Jacob Mizorowski. So you can get more Brewers content over there on Thanalysis. Plus, it's back Black Friday at Ewald Automotive Group. It's their biggest event yet. Shop vehicles up to 10,000 off or 0% financing, zero down. They'll do whatever it takes to move all remaining 2025s. Their biggest savings of the year. Lowest interest rates, maximum trade values, huge selection. Black Friday is back. It's going on now at every Ewald location. They make it easy. I've trusted them for years. You should trust them as well, whether it's buying your car, whether it's servicing your vehicle as well. All you need to do is go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
I don't.
An incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So we were just taking a look at the defense and having some conversations around that for the Green Bay Packers. So right now the offense, I would say, is that they've underwhelmed through 10 games of the season. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So last year they finished 8th in scoring. This year they're outside the top 10 in both points and yards. They're 12th in points. 13th in points, 12th in yards.
Mm-hmm.
If the Packers want to be taken as a serious contender, a team that can even do... Because right now, the way things have been going, the way they've been playing, even if they're a playoff team, I would not trust them to go on the road and beat anyone. If they're going to have success in these next three games, if they're going to ultimately win the division, potentially win a couple of playoff games, what does that have to rise to? What does that number have to
rise
to?
With the defense at what?
Let's say the defense stays the same. Defense is fringe top five. They're 7th in points, 6th in yards. So fringe top five defense. Where does that offense need to get?
8.
Okay.
8. Because even look this week, or this last week against the Giants, I was surprised they scored 20. You know? And it was fine. I mean, it's the Giants. Sometimes you play down to your competition. But I also thought they would score more than, well, maybe not, 27. See, I don't know what this team is right now. I don't think anyone knows what this team is. But we're getting close to, like, okay, things got to start coming together. I would say, and it doesn't have to happen right now, but you want to see a progression.
Mm-hmm.
I would say... With 5 games left in the season, you really want to see, okay, I could see this. I think I already see it in the D, you know, although I'd like a little help from the other D guys on the D line. But offensively, and I'll give LaFleur, presuming they win, not lose.
Against Minnesota.
And Detroit.
They're 6.5-point favorites right now.
Detroit, not so much because they got some tough games coming up. But he's got to kind of figure this thing out, you know, because you're going to get limited production from your tight ends. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You're going to get limited. So he's got to find a way to get yards with 3 and 4 receivers. So it's kind of a pivot now in the middle of the season because you lost probably your best weapon.
Which honestly is something he's done pretty well.
Yes.
Over the course of his career, whether it's, again, short-term injuries to Devontae Adams. Last year it was the injury to Jordan Love. he's done a decent job of kind of having, when he's had to pivot middle of the season,
yeah,
he has typically found those answers that you need in that offense.
But it's like, okay, Jaden Reed, how long is he going to take to get his legs back under him? You know? Because the three receiver, when you have Watson, Reed, and Dobbs and or Golden, that's pretty good. It's not great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's just the tight end position, especially in bad weather, Gabe, where you can be predominantly run. Your play action passing game is big, and that involves a tight end. So
I think
he's got to figure it out, is what I'm trying to say.
When everybody is healthy, I would agree. I think their best three receiver set is Golden, Watson, and Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
The problem is, I don't think we're going to see those three on the field at the same time all that often.
No, but he loves Dobbs.
Because he loves Dobbs. And so does Jordan Love. And I don't get it. I just keep coming back to it. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think he's really the only one. Even Dobbs is limited in what he can do on the field. There's a connection. And sometimes when quarterbacks get a little jittery or panic, they go to that connection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what happens with that connection? Drops to really easy balls.
I agree. I just don't know if they're playing or they're utilizing Golden skill set.
I don't think they are.
I would agree. I'm not saying just let them go down the field and run. Because I kind of saw, this is how I looked at him, is a Tyreek Hill light. Small guy, fast, shifty, you know. Everyone has their favorite routes, Gabe.
Wouldn't his best role just be what the Romeo Dobbs role is right now?
I think he'd be great against man, you know.
Yeah,
but there's things you can do, and I'm sick of beating my head against the wall. Give the guy a little bit of a pick or give him a little help.
Well, so here's the thing, too. I think I said this on Monday. There was a route that Romeo Dobbs ran. It was just this little underneath route, just a little drag route on third, and I don't know if it was 6 and 7, mm-hmm, whatever it was. And Golden did a great job kind of clearing out the area. They got it to Dobbs, but the problem with Romeo, he's not that fast.
No.
So he had to reach and extend the ball in order to get the first down.
Mm-hmm.
I would give anything just if those two would have flipped spots that play. Dobbs clear it out, because then you can get him going a little bit like that, and that's how those catch and run opportunities start. Not these little bubble screens and the stuff behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Get him going on that underneath route where you get him a little of space, get the ball to him with a little bit of that momentum forward, and then you can get those run after catch yards.
Because
right now, the run after the catch doesn't exist for anyone outside of Jaden Reed, who could be, again, we're assuming he's coming back. But I also think Golden can be one of those guys. He proved that he could do those things at Texas. They just haven't put him in those positions to do those things.
But the other thing that hasn't been talked about is there is a rookie wall, I'm telling you. And even though the college season is extended, you hit the rookie wall because you are in that building a lot of times from 8 in the morning till 6 at night. You know, college, you got to go to class, interact with this. You're not living it, you know. So you're there for probably 5 hours. Sometimes you just get to the point of like, I need a break. You know, for veterans, it's easy. It's like, this is my life, you know.
Yeah.
You like getting out of the house, you know. For rookies, it's like, when's our next bye?
So when do you get to the point where you become like you and you don't want to leave the house?
Second year. The first year's always, you know.
Well, no. So you said once you become a veteran, you're like, oh, I like getting out of the house.
Yeah.
Now you're at a point in your life where you don't want to get out of the house. You like being in the house. And you've got a mandate put upon you that you have to interact with people outside of your house.
I like coming here.
Do you?
Yeah.
You complain about the drive.
I mean,
I wish
it was a little later. You know?
You complain about the time. You complain about the drive an awful lot.
Mondays.
But it is nice.
Fridays,
nice
too, on occasion.
Yeah, well,
He's a little hung on Fridays, if we're being honest.
The blammer.
If only there was something we could do about that.
Yeah. I could bring the Blammer in.
There's nothing we could do, Josh. Do you expect Blammer Thursday to go away? Come on now. Let's not be unrealistic here with our no. expectations.
No.
Yeah, so I'm really curious because that offense does need to tick up. And that's where all the pressure lies, mm-hmm. is within that offense. And I'm curious to see if Jaden Reed can be a part of those solutions that they come up with to help supplement the offense with no Tucker Kraft. Do we wrap up the show? It's coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh DiMaggio here from my friends at 1UP Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. You've heard me talk about them before, but it's football season and it is time to play. This weekend, I'm looking at a five-person anytime touchdown parlay. I got Josh Allen to score, Rashee Rice, Jonathan Taylor, Travion Henderson for the Patriots, and Zay Flowers. Here's what you should do. Download the 1UP Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the 1UP Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse finally than what ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Wendorf Wednesday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Again, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate. Check them out, wendorfteam.firstweber.com. So we've decided we're completely out. Did we put that on an Infinity Exteriors poll?
We did.
In or out on a tattoo of yourself?
Yeah, I'd have to check the result. I didn't have. Well,
so right now, yes. So right now, we're 22 minutes in. So again, still plenty of time to vote. Is it weird to get a tattoo of a picture of yourself on yourself? 89% of people say yes. It's kind of weird.
Okay, yeah, it is very weird.
I don't know. It's a really good tattoo though, and it's a really good moment. I think I'm in on it. Four wild. Maybe I'm just sticking up for my guy. His name's Wild Bill, after all.
That's a large part of what we got
going on. But I'm
going
to stick up
here
for my guy, Wild Bill, okay. And I say it looks good on him. Like, if I were to do it, yeah, that's weird. If Josh were to do it, that's weird. Wild Bill, I think it's okay.
Okay.
If you want to get a tattoo yourself,
no,
feel
I'm
free.
Good.
Okay, I just thought I'd offer
Mother
it.
Would kill me.
Will he and Josh is coming up next.
Northbound on 894, you got backups from about the county line all the way.